I know that I was ordered to go once a week, and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't missing the classes.
When I became the NAS administrator, or before I became the NAS administrator...
I am sorry that I went about it the way I did.
He looks like a comic book character. I don't know. He needs something to do. Probably needs a job.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about in this God-loving world where truth is our bitch and where we will go anywhere, anywhere, including through the looking glass to find it. 877-876-PHIL. Lindsay Lohan is going to jail. Yay. I don't know. I guess that's okay. I don't feel good about that. This poor kid. Anyway, we'll tell you about that. We'll tell you what the happiest state or states in America is or am or are. Plus, the prince. When we say prince says the internet is dead, we mean Prince Charles, right?
No, prince.
Bull crap. Prince Charles. What do you mean prince? Prince?
Yeah, prince like
Minneapolis prince.
Yeah.
The hell it is. Which prince are we talking about? We're talking about the artist formerly known as Prince?
Yeah. He said the internet is dead, man.
Oh, horse dung. www.philhenryshow.com. That's the website. That's where we... What is it? What are you talking about? Are you talking about Prince of Wales or Prince? This is how long it takes my producer to get me information on this. The singer. Okay. All right, now, PhilHenryShow.com is our website. All you have to do is sign up for the backstage pass. And, Jack, you got our live screaming video. That's right, live screaming as well as streaming video, live streaming audio. And you can also check out our archives. You can check in the comments section of our news feed, guaranteed email response, all kinds of access to all kinds of downloads and other streaming material on the website at philhenryshow.com. This is the largest repository of any single radio show in the world, all right? And it is the only place where you can get officially our material. Now, there are a few places that bootleg our stuff. They will soon be visited with, you know, I ain't kidding you either.
Yeah, you're getting all up on that.
I don't care, man. I don't care. Anybody stealing our stuff, bootlegging our stuff? Look, if CBS can make a big deal out of it with YouTube, I can make a big deal out of it. CBS, just because they're... People say, well, it's CBS. Well, guess what? I got a lawyer, too. People think they're going to steal our stuff. Man, I swear to God, this is one way to make money. Find out the cats that are bootlegging our stuff and profiting from it and sue their ass. Guess what? I don't have to work again as long as I live.
Here's that list.
Get out of it. Don't stick it in my face. Thank you. We had an argument before the show started as to who the movie stars are. Who are the real movie stars? What is a movie star? Well, a movie star, in my opinion, and I think that this is a pretty good definition of what a movie star is, it's an individual actor that can literally draw people to a film, to the tune of a lot of money, hundreds of millions, perhaps tens of millions at least. Who's a movie star? It's a guy who says, oh, he's in it. I want to go see it. And enough people think the same way that the movie's making over $100 million. Now, my good friend, Mr. Rance, thinks that Leonardo DiCaprio is one such person. Well, I hate to break the news, but no, he ain't. Now, we both agree that Will Smith is. Will Smith...
Are you kidding me? What movie he done?
What movie has he done? Will Smith? Armageddon. Or not Armageddon.
Independence Day. Independence Day? Nobody went and saw it on account of him.
How about I Am Legend? I don't know. Just get out of here, will you?
Yeah, see.
Just shut up for a minute, all right? Leonardo DiCaprio.
See?
Will you shut up? Leonardo DiCaprio? What are you, high on narcotics?
What about Titanic? You trying to tell me that didn't make no money? Oh, only $600 million. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. That's probably not enough money.
Guess what, man? Nobody went to see that movie because of Will Smith. They went to see it to see the ship sink.
What are you talking about, man?
Who went to see Titanic to see Leonardo DiCaprio?
You go there... You're going to see him.
By the way, Will Smith did Men in Black.
Nobody cared about him. They went to see Tommy Lee Jones and Rip Torn.
Rip Torn? Was he in that movie?
I think he was.
Are you high on... Dude, it, Will Smith was Men in Black, okay?
No, Tommy Lee Jones. The white guy.
I'm going to belt you. You can say what you want. Will Smith is a movie star. Say, Leonardo DiCaprio, Titanic. Titanic had nothing to do with Leonardo DiCaprio.
God, talk much? Titanic...
Look at man, you want to make a point, make a point. Don't be a smartass. Titanic, nobody went to see it because of Leonardo DiCaprio. They went to see it because Titanic sinks.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that.
Oh, well, thank you.
What about Catch Me If You Can?
Catch Me If You Can? Look, man, Catch Me If You Can was a cool story. It was a Steven Spielberg. You want to know why people went to see that? Tom Hanks.
What?
There's a movie star, Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. You think Tom Hanks is a movie star?
Yeah, that's why I think they went to see it. And they went to see it because it was a Steven Spielberg movie. Maybe they went to see it because it was Hanks and DiCaprio, but they didn't go to see it because it was DiCaprio, which, by the way, I thought that was the best in terms of acting. I thought that movie was the best Leonardo DiCaprio movie I ever saw. Then there was The Aviator, which sucked. S-O-C-K-E-D, sucked.
What about Departed?
Departed? Do you know how many good... You get a name, they had Wahlberg. They had that other guy, Matt Damon. They had that Alec...
Alec Baldwin. Nobody go see Alec Baldwin's fat ass to be a movie.
Well, they ain't go see it on account of that guy. Shutter Island. I'm talking... Nobody's making the... You aren't going to convince me, so forget it.
What about Blood Diamond?
Blood Diamond? Blood Diamond, huh?
What about it?
Who went to see that turd? Let me show you something here. Blood Diamond made $57 million. Now, I don't know whether you guys know this or not, but by today's math, today's accounting practices, and today's, you know, box office, whatever, $57 million wouldn't buy you tap water.
All right. What about Body of Lies?
You know, now you're just being stupid, bud. You know, nobody went to see that movie. Now let's move on over here to my man, Will Smith.
You're only seeing my man because he's black.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I am. Independence Day, $306 million. Men in Black, Bad Boys, I, Robot, I Am Legend, and then some other turds.
No, come on, read it.
I don't want to read it.
Read it.
All right, Shark Tale and Hitch. All right. Point being, when you talk about movie stars, you don't really know, do you? All right, here are some...
No, that's such a chicken way of going about it. If you say a guy a movie star on account of the people going to go see him, then you have to say... Leonardo DiCaprio.
You do. Only because of this. Leonardo DiCaprio and little girl, look at him, man. Oh, man, that make a woman. That make a woman out of any little girl. If you see Will Smith, same thing, but not on a sex. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. If you're telling me that Leonardo DiCaprio is big among women, okay. If you're telling me that Will Smith is just an all-around great movie star, all right. I just happen to think that Will Smith drives more box office than Leonardo DiCaprio. And it ain't got anything to do with him being black. Because didn't I just say that Tom Hanks, I think Tom Hanks is big time? And I think Tom Hanks is bigger than Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, man. There's no way, man.
No way. You have to be deaf, dumb, and blind.
How do you figure? What movie did Tom Hanks do?
Everything that Hanks does is a hit. Didn't you hear the joke that What's-His-Face made? That guy, who's the guy?
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, he made that joke. He said, next time, when I do my career over again, I'm going to do it the way Tom Hanks did his. Everything I make's going to be a hit. Everything the guy makes is a hit.
What about Big?
It's all a smash hit, you dumbass. There ain't a movie that cat's made that hasn't been a hit. Think about it. Like, I forget.
Yeah, see?
If I thought about it, I'd have it. Will Smith movies in domestic earnings. I bet you he's made more money than what's-his-ass. Here's Tom Hanks, Toy Story, Saving Private Ryan, Forrest Gump, Philadelphia. These are smash hits. Big, big movies, man. Hanks is the man, all right? So just back off of me. Now I blew this whole segment. I wanted to do the recession-proof industries. We'll do it here in just a second.
You got to name more Tom Hanks movie, though.
What are you talking about?
Well, you can't just name three.
Give me some more Tom Hanks movies there, Rance. Castaway.
That movie was no good.
Oh, you were crying. You were crying. What a lying sack of crap you are. You watched that movie, you were bawling when that freaking volleyball got kicked.
You were, man.
That was the only one that was good.
You're a lion sack. Road to Perdition. What about that? What? Angels and Demons. Okay, now I'm getting into some movies that, you know. 877-876-PHIL, League of Their Own. David G. Hall coming up, plus Charles Manson follower Leslie Van Houten. Is she in? Is she out? She had her parole hearing. Let's find out what happened to Leslie Van Houten, Charles Manson follower, and her parole hearing. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What was it?
Are we on the air?
We are. David G. Hall joins us.
I was going to say, You Got Mail, which was a wonderful film.
You Got Mail?
You're talking about Tom Hanks, right? And I said to Bud before we went on the air, You Got Mail was a marvelous movie.
You're not talking about Sleepless in Seattle.
I'm not talking about Sleepless in Seattle. I know Sleepless. You Got Mail.
You Got Mail was horrible.
Really? You call $115 million horrible? See, this is what you and I, we have this argument all the time.
No, all right. You're right about that.
We have this argument all the time. When I say $115 million, you should say great movie. But you always qualify it. And I don't understand that. If I say to you, You Got Mail, $150 million, you should say great movie.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't.
Well, yeah, and that's why you are what you are. You're a guy who thinks it's great to be an artist, but when it comes to making money, you don't get it. Anything that makes money, Phil, those are the movies that people remember. The movies that make money, that's what people will remember. Do you think anybody's going to remember, for instance, what's that movie you saw that you think is so great?
What movie I saw? I don't know. There's a lot of movies.
That one, that art house movie.
I've seen a lot of them.
The one with that gay guy.
Gods and Monsters?
Gods and Monsters with that gay.
And Ian McKellen.
Yeah. He's a great actor. And you like that movie, right?
Yeah.
It didn't do anything. Nobody's going to remember it. No one's going to care. So therefore,
it's not a good movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, here is...
Well, you know what? I don't want to get in an argument with you about it, David, because there's no... You know, you're probably right. There's no doubt that popularity is what wins the day.
That's exactly right. Why do you think we remember Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata? Why do we remember it? Because people loved it, and they still love it. Why do you think we remember Mozart and that other, that magpie, whatever the thing, what's the one that he did? It's called a magpie?
I don't know, the dancing magpie or some jazz like that. You know what it is, Bud?
Yeah, it goes... The one from Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange was Beethoven.
No, that was Mozart.
No, it wasn't. It was Beethoven.
It was Mozart.
You're a liar. It was Beethoven.
I thought it was Beethoven, too.
Well, it was Mozart. All right?
No, it wasn't.
Listen, that's not the point that I'm making. I'm telling you that the stuff people remember is the popular stuff. Now, I want to ask you a question, and forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, to listen to the program right now. But this segues into what you and I have been talking about, and this is why I wanted to come on. You know that the broadcast business right now is scrambling to make money. You know that, right?
Yeah.
All right. Advertising revenues are down. The broadcast model, the ownership model, is falling apart.
Yeah.
You think that's funny, don't you?
No, I don't think it's funny, but I predicted it.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah, I did. I did predict it, yeah. I told you that this generation of broadcast executives weren't man or woman enough to save this industry. Now they're reaping what they've sowed.
Reaping what they've sowed. So you think that's funny? You think it's funny to see a lot of men and women, former giants in this industry, going with their hat in their hands, huh?
No, I don't think it's funny. I told you, I'll say it again. I think they're reaping what they sowed.
All right. So what we have been forced into now...
And what is this we stuff, man? You represent my show. You don't own radio stations. You own product. You're a partner in a piece of product. You don't own the delivery service. You own the content that goes on the delivery service.
I understand that. Mel Karmazin. I understand that.
And I'm not trying to be Mel Karmazin, but what is it with this we, huh? You got a rocket in your pocket?
No, I don't got a rocket in my pocket. What I'm saying is the following. You know that companies are having to pay radio stations to put shows on, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. You know that big companies are having to go to radio stations and say, if you'll take our show, we'll pay you.
Yes. Yes, I do.
But you go even further than knowing it. You talk about it on the air, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
You're proud of that.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes, I am proud of that. Look at David, I'm not going to pull any punches around here with my audience. If I feel like I want to talk about something that has to do with the industry, I'm going to talk about it.
So you don't mind making us look like, you don't mind making us look like bums, like hobos, like going around and begging. Like, say, in other words, you don't mind making the business, the radio business, look like radio program providers. You don't mind us look like we are the fathers of ugly daughters at the debutante ball, and we're paying a guy to dance with her. Is that it? Is that what you like to do?
What are you talking about, man?
You know what I'm talking about.
Do you pay to get my show put on anywhere?
No, I don't.
Yeah, and why?
Because you won't let me.
That's exactly right. I won't let you. We aren't going to pay anybody to put this show on the air, as far as I can tell. And as far as if I got anything to say about it, we'll never pay people to put this show on. You put this show on the air because you need it, because it fits well with your schedule, because it complements your radio station, and that's it. And anybody that pays to put a radio show on the air, that's right, they are the fathers of ugly daughters.
So you are saying that companies like Westwood One, companies like Premier, companies like that, their daughters are hags, old, ugly hags that they got to pay so some guy will get up off of his dead, quaalude-ridden ass to dance with. Oh, real funny, huh?
Yeah, that was very funny. Yeah, that's about it.
By the way, Gods and Monsters made $6.5 million. Woo!
Oh, yeah!
Nice one, Phil.
I don't care. I like the movie, okay?
Yeah, I'll bet you did. I'll bet you like that movie. A lot of naked boys in that movie.
Hey, David, you know, you can start knocking me all you want, but I mean, my point is the following. We're at a point now where it used to be an industry that had radio programming taken by radio stations because it was quality, because, as you said, the stations needed it, the stations, it fit well, the national buys they could use, and then they could sell it locally, and that's how we did business. We bartered, okay? But now you've got companies that are having to pay to get their national product on the air. And you want to know why? Because their national product is lousy. That's why. Because the national shows that we've got now suck. Because with the exception of maybe Howard, me, maybe a handful of shows. And when I say a handful, maybe four, five, six, maybe. The rest of that stuff is the worst. It's the worst on earth. And the reason why you don't have to pay to put my show on the air is because people will take this show. All right? People will take this show. They'll put it on the air because it complements what they're doing. To be perfectly honest with you, and I've said this to you before, I think the whole model in radio of left versus right, conservative versus liberal, I think this is going the way of the dodo bird, man. You know?
You keep talking about that, Phil, but I'm telling you, it'll never go that way. People are always going to want to argue politics.
I'm going to tell you this much. Just because news and political talk took over talk radio from the beginning, because news directors ran this business, because news directors and political talk guys ran it, doesn't mean that spoken word can't become more than just news and more than just politics. It can be entertainment just the way it was at one time. And I'm not talking about Fibber McGee and Molly either.
Well, that's what you want to do, don't you? You want to go back to the Fred Allen show?
No, I do not, man. I'm talking about being entertainers beyond the realm of left versus right. Right now, it is so strangled. No wonder they got to pay to put this crap on the air. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. We got more conservative talk show hosts, man, than you got radio stations. Where are you going to put all this stuff?
All I'm telling you is you make us look like a bunch of monkeys swinging from rain gutter when we have to go out there and say, excuse me, would you mind putting the show on the air? And here's a few dollars just to, you know, help you make it through the winter. And you make it look like I'm trying to pawn off my ugly daughter on some surfer. And I resent the hell out of that, Phil.
If you're paying to put any crap on the air, that's your problem.
even if I could find somebody that could pay to put you...
No, no, never, never. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. Some ugly daughter with a surfer. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to see you after you get off the air.
Phil Hendry.
No.
In my office.
No.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. David Hall, man.
Yeah, you ought to listen to him more often.
No, I shouldn't listen to him more often. There's two guys around here I shouldn't listen to more often, you and him, with your big fat mouth.
Yeah, but I told you about the Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, you were right, but I had a good point anyway.
No, no, see, that's just it, bud. I was right. You may have had a good point, but there's no point in arguing it and arguing it and arguing it. You're an idiot. I was right. You were wrong.
Yeah, but you didn't... But for the sake of argument.
But there's no such thing as for the sake of argument with you. With you, it just goes on and on and on and on. Some stupid-ass comment like, what about Titanic? Nobody went to see Titanic because of Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, they did. No, they didn't.
Well, you're right about that, except when Kate Winslet showed her boob in it.
No, she didn't show her boob in it.
Kate Winslet didn't show her breast.
I didn't say her breast. I said her boob. And the difference is, it was a boob shot, meaning it was more for sex.
Hey, you know what? Either you're dumber than you look. There was no boob shot in Titanic.
No, there wasn't, man.
I thought there was in the back of that Model A.
In the back of that Model A? You mean in the back of the car on the ship? No. No, there wasn't.
Well, that could have. Why did it seem like all you saw was her butt? You just felt that. It felt fat in that car.
What are you talking about, man?
Felt fat in the car. 10 surprising, get out of here, 10 surprisingly recession-proof industries. It's always tricky to call an industry recession-proof. But why did it feel fat in that car? But though it may sound surprising, there are a handful of industries that are actually growing during the downturn. How about this?
I got to find out about this.
Now, these are industries that are growing during our recession. But as we wait patiently for things to improve, consumption patterns look a little different. Spending is down on funerals and education. Spending's down on funerals and education. But it's rising on non-necessities like gum, tattoos, and pet pampering. So we're getting more tats than ever before, we're chewing more gum than ever before, and we are pampering our pets more than ever before. But because of the recession, we're not burying our dead.
Yeah, we're just leaving them out there.
Probably.
Yeah, that's it. Just leave them by the side of the road, and unfortunately, that's the effects of a recession. You just can't stick your grandmother in the ground like you used to.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Anyway, perhaps mounting frustration and anxieties about the economy have shown a new side of human nature. Check out some of the most surprising industries that are not only surviving, but thriving during the current economic lull. One of these industries, family films. Now, why would they call that surprising, though?
People are going to go see a family movie with everybody in the family.
Yeah, so that means you make more money.
Yeah, that's stupid. Family movies grossing over $300 million in 3 weeks. Family-friendly flick Toy Story 3 has virtually saved Hollywood from a lackluster summer. Why would you call that surprising? We know that entertainment is a big, big business during downtimes. And to say that it's surprising to see family movies do well. But nonetheless, Toy Story... I read this thinking that people would be able to get into these businesses or somehow find their own entrepreneurial way in one of these businesses. I know, folks. Why don't you go out and make yourself a family-friendly movie? Night and Day, which is Tom Cruise's film, it's grossed roughly $49 million. Meanwhile, fellow family-friendly movies like Shrek the Third, Wall-E, and Up have pulled in nearly $1 billion in box office receipts in the last 2 years. Compare that to the $250 million earned by their adult counterparts during the same period of time. American Gangster, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Public Enemies. Public Enemies, I don't know, man.
Yeah, that was the bitchiest movie ever. What was not good about it?
Yeah, how come you don't like that?
I don't know, man. I mean, I just thought it was fine. It wasn't all that great. It was the one time a Michael Mann movie,
Oh, man, you talk about a director. What difference does that make?
Because of the freaking way he runs the camera, man. That's why. Don't you know what a director does?
Yeah.
Well, I can't see. Don't you like seeing guys get shot?
Yeah.
I couldn't see anybody get shot in that movie.
Well, that is a good point.
I mean, I'm looking at this movie, and that guy has got all these close-ups. Every time some guy got his head blown off, you didn't see anything.
So that's why you went to see it, on it. See a man get a head blowed off. Boy, that's sad.
Oh, don't give me that bull crap. That's why you go.
No, I don't.
Oh, you're lying, man. Every time you go to see one of those flicks, you're coming back going, oh, man, you should have seen it. Guy got his head blown off.
That's true, bud. You always do.
No, I don't.
Don't say no, you don't, because you're on the air, because you do. God. In the recession, families are looking for activities outside of home, and a family movie allows mom and dad, the teens, and the little kids to enjoy a movie together. Paul Derboogian, or whatever the hell his name is.
Let me see. Yep, you're right, Paul Derboogian.
Thank you. Of Hollywood.com told Reuters last year. Is that why, Paul? The next big family friend. Well, what's the next recession-proof industry? Why, of course, donuts.
That's true, though.
Donuts. When you're cash strapped, you know what? That is true, because I'll tell you, if you drive through areas of town that may be, well, shall we say, to be kind, economically depressed. You know what I mean, Robert?
Well, what do you mean, you know what I mean, Robert? Because I grew up black in a black neighborhood?
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, you got a point.
Okay. So black neighborhoods have a lot of donuts. I didn't say black. I mean economically depressed.
Yeah, there are a lot of them.
There's a lot of donut shops. When you're cash-strapped, there's no cheaper fix for your daily nutritional requirements of lard, sugar, and oil than a donut. The chains that are thriving, Krispy Kreme. They announced that it doubled its earnings in the first quarter of the year, while last year Dunkin' Donuts launched its first donut-related ad campaign in a decade.
What about Spudnut? That's best place to going.
There's no Spudnuts. Spudnuts is good, but Spudnuts is a real California thing, man.
No, it's not, man. I saw that one in Arkansas.
Spudnuts is weird. Spudnuts has got like 900 stores in L.A., and then they got like one in Arkansas. So did you see that, bud?
I mean, let me look it up on the internet. I think you're right.
Yeah, Spudnuts is real weird.
How come they do that?
I don't know. But if you look up Spudnuts is great. You're right. But Spudnuts has got like 20 stores within four blocks of each other in L.A. Then they got a bunch of stores up at the beach. And then they got like a store in Illinois or something. I don't know how it works. Missouri or something. Maybe Rance is looking it up. I don't know. Yeah, Spudnuts has two in Arkansas. What is that about?
Yeah, they got two in Illinois, two in Ohio, one in what's OK?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, you idiot.
I don't know what the OK is. Oh, is that the one? Oh, is that the one we go? Oklahoma and the wind and the whipping down the...
Yes, give me that, will you? And three in Texas. And they got one in Washington, one in Vermont, one in Utah.
Well, see, they're spread out.
Spread out, man. That's, they got one in Utah, and they got 86 in East L.A.
That's what you mean. The Mexicans eat them.
You said that, man.
All right, here's the next business. This is a big business in a recession. Marathons. Marathons. How is this a big business? Running 26.2 miles has become more popular than ever. Last year, Running USA reported 467,000 people finished a marathon in the U.S., marking a 10% increase over the year. The year before, when 425,000 crossed the finish line. In 2006, only 410. Well, so how is that a business or an industry? On a related note, Runner's World Magazine also increased its newsstand sales by 3.6% in the second half of 2009, while online-derived subscription sales grew 59%. You know, I can understand that, man. When the recession's on and people, you know, everybody lean and mean, that kind of jazz, you know?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think people want to get in shape. They want to get, they realize the world's toughening up and they want to toughen up. I don't know. What do you think the next business is?
Fireworks.
How'd you know?
I saw it.
Well, give it to me. You saw it. Fireworks. Perhaps it's the once-a-year celebration mentality that precedes every 4th of July, but the fireworks industry has reported steady annual revenue increases since 1998. The American Pyrotechnic Association reports that last year the industry made $945 million compared to $940 million in 2008.
The industry pulled, well, that's not a hell of a big increase, but I guess the industry pulled in $930 million in 2007 and $900 million in 2006. I don't know. For some reason, that seems all very weird, like it's got nothing to do with the recession.
Yeah, I think people just want to see if anything will blow up, or I don't know. I just think people like fireworks more and more and more and more.
All right, here's another industry that is a recession-proof industry, iPhones. Recession or not, Apple knows how to pull off a product launch. Steve Jobs recently announced the latest iPhone, the $400 iPhone 4, is its most successful product launch to date. Within 3 days, glitch or no glitch, Apple sold 1.77 million iPhones compared to 1 million during the same period last year with its 3GS, which is the one that I got, and 700,000 in 2007 with the first-generation iPhone. Pet pampering is another industry that is on the rise during the recession. Birth rates may decline during a recession, but our furry friends are lapping up the cost savings of many childless homes, HuffPost blogger and animal expert Wendy Diamond reports. Because she's on the Huffington Post, she probably has a very suspect relationship with her pets to begin with. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, what are you saying, man?
I'm kidding around. With 62% of American households owning at least one pet, up from 56% in 1998, and 37.2% of... Oh, get out of here.
No!
I can't take these statistics, man, after a while.
Yeah, but you're not telling us what's going on.
I don't give a crap. I don't want to read that. 32% up of the 43%. The 62%... Tattoos. The San Jose Mercury reports the tattoo industry is thriving as the art becomes more culturally accepted and prevalent on television. Oh, God. Fantasy sports. Thanks to the internet, shattered dreams of joining a professional sports league have manifested themselves to the ever-profitable fantasy sports industry and gum. Oh, and one other thing that's really kicking ass? Whale watching.
I'll bet.
What do you mean, you'll bet? The whale watching industry, what is that supposed to mean?
Whale watching?
Yeah, you're talking about, look at that fat woman.
Yeah.
Oh, aren't you guys funny?
You're doing all the Oprah jokes.
The whale watching industry is... I wasn't doing any Oprah jokes, man. The other guy was. The whale watching industry is worth more than $2 billion and expected to grow 10% a year, according to the peer-reviewed journal Marine Policy. The International Fund for Animal Welfare reported that in 2008, the industry raked in $2.1 billion compared to $1 billion. Wow. So it's doubled in 10 years, whale watching. Yeah, people are, you know, they're getting their kicks in different ways. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think it's significant, though.
How come?
I just don't think it is. I think they're making a big deal out of stuff that was probably on the rise anyway and has a curve all its own. It doesn't matter, in other words, what the economy is like. Pet grooming is going to go up or down depending upon something else. It's got nothing to do with the economy. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to find out how many spud nuts there are in L.A. We know there's one in Virginia. I'm kidding. And did Leslie Van Houten get parole? Let's find out about the Manson family when we come back here on the World Oh, there's 23 spud nuts in California. Thank you.
God, there are 23 spud nuts and only one in Virginia. What a jip.
Yeah. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What a jip. Who cares?
You ever live in Virginia,
this
man.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Show
877-876-PHIL.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I just got on this spud nuts kick. It's very funny to me. Forgive me, folks, but we were talking about industries, businesses that are surviving the recession, and for some reason we got into donuts, and then I began talking about spud nuts, and I thought, well, now spud nuts is an interesting story because spud nuts is a donut shop, and they have this weird layout. Now look at that.
How come they got all of them there?
Those are all working class neighborhoods. If you look at a map of the donut company Spud Nuts, all of their donut shops are in what I would consider to be working class neighborhoods of Los Angeles. What are you doing in Mexico, man?
That's where the map is. Don't have none in Chihuahua.
Will you get out of Mexico and give me the map back?
What are you talking about, man? I just told you.
I know there ain't none in Chihuahua. I don't want to look at Chihuahua. I'm looking at California.
All of a sudden, I'm looking at a map, and I'm looking at a desert, and I'm going, where the hell is he? He's in Chihuahua.
Are you an idiot or something, man? No, but did I find out there was or not?
Hey, bud, I never knew that. I didn't care if there was any spud nuts in Chihuahua. I'm looking at the map, and I'm looking at desert, and I'm going, where the hell happened to L.A.? And suddenly, I realize I'm in Chihuahua.
Did you or did you not?
I didn't see any donuts in Chihuahua, and I'm glad and thank you. God. In L.A., they got more... Well, you know what? You just put me off this story. Now I'm so pissed off.
Oh, well, you're going to cry.
Am I going to cry? No, but you're going to cry as soon as I swing this right hand.
I didn't do anything.
Just don't screw around with a map, man. I'm looking at the spud nuts. What the hell is with spud nuts? They got all of these stores in Placentia, all of these working-class neighborhoods of Orange County, California, L.A., downtown, up here in Port Hueneme, in the Nard. Then they got...
How many got in the Nard?
They got about four in the Nard. And
what do you got to talk about the Nard? What's that?
Oxnard. Then they got about five or six in Santa Barbara. Then they got one in Virginia. They got, like, one in Dallas, one in Waco, Texas. This is the goofiest donut thing I've ever seen. A whole bunch in Panama City, Florida.
I guess maybe the only poor people want to eat a donut is in Orange County.
Yeah, that's it, bud. The only poor people that want to eat a donut are in Orange County, California. Well, I tell you one thing. At least it educates people to the fact that there are poor people in Orange County, California. And boy, are there ever, man. But if you look at this map, these guys are all, yeah. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I totally forgot where the hell it was we were going here, but it had to be somewhere good. Amarillo has two. We're doing what? Oh, Manson. Thank you very much, Charles. Oh, yeah. So I told you that Charles Manson, one of his followers, had a parole hearing, and that was today, and that was none other than Leslie Van Houten, and the parole board has denied. Denied freedom for Charles Manson follower Leslie Van Houten for the 19th time.
Yeah, well, everybody knew that.
Well, I wanted to make it a little suspenseful. Van Houten was convicted of murder and conspiracy in the August 1969 slayings of wealthy grocers Lino and Rosemary LaBianca. That was one night after actress Sharon Tate and four others were killed. Van Houten did not participate in the Tate slayings. Van Houten has long been seen as the most likely of Manson's former family members to be set free someday. I don't know why. I mean, she seems normal, but that doesn't mean anything. The 60-year-old remains incarcerated at the California Institution for Women at Fellow Manson follower Patricia Krenwinkle is also imprisoned there. Susan Atkins, the third woman convicted of murder in the crimes directed by the cult leader, died in prison last year after parole officials denied her dying request for freedom. I don't know why these women, you know, in the state of California, and I couldn't have put it better myself, the father of a murder victim earlier this year made the statement that the death penalty in California is an empty promise, meaning there's no death penalty in California, so forget it.
Why not?
Because they don't put anybody to death in California. They stick them on death row, and they feed their stupid fat asses, and they sit there, and they sit there, and they sit there, and they sit there. All right, so that's the reality in California. There's no real death penalty. Your ass goes on to death row, and that's where you remain. So to say, well, all right, so the person's in prison for the rest of their life. Now all of a sudden the guy says, well, you know, maybe we ought to have mercy on them. Well, wait a second, man. First of all, they were convicted of murder, and they were given the death penalty, and that was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, and that's all groovy. Okay, fine. Now you're telling me you want to do what? You want to let them out early?
Well, you know,
no, I don't know. I got a great idea, man. Why don't we not only let them out early, but why don't we find them something to do? Maybe we can put them in charge of a spud nut someplace. Anyway, Van Houten last appeared before the parole board in 2007. She has been discipline-free since her incarceration in the early 1970s. She has positive psychological reports. She's been active in self-help groups at the prison, which could help in her push for freedom. Her new lawyer, Brandy Duvall, argued that Van Houten should not be refused parole because there is no evidence she's a danger to public safety. I don't know, man. I don't know how you figure that. Do you know how many of these people have been wrong? Do you know how many times there's been some freak who they said, oh, he's just fine. He's, you know, really? Oh, yeah. And they let him out and he's got a head in the trunk.
What are you talking about, man?
You don't know that story?
Yeah, you told me about that guy, Edward Kemper.
That's right. Edward Kemper went in to talk to his psychiatrist.
Cut it out.
I'm telling you, bud, it's true.
You're lying.
No, listen. Edward Kemper went in to talk to his psychiatrist, and she wrote up a glowing report. Well, he's just the greatest thing since sliced bread, and...
She said that he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
No, she didn't. Will you listen to me?
Talking about just a figure of speech, man.
Oh.
She said that he's cool. He's cool, and he's great, and he's a great guy, and nothing, you know, he's not going to do anything bad. And he went back out to his car. He had a head in the trunk of his car.
Get out of here.
I know. Remember when you told me that, man? That was great.
Great. Jeez. You imagine being that psychiatrist? Oh, yeah, Charlie, he's just fantastic. Goes out to his car, opens the trunk, and says hello to the head that's sitting there. Our engineer tonight, Charles Wygant. Our screener, Dan Northcraft. Our producer is Jason Rantz. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, philhenryshow.com for all your comedy needs. BSP it now!
Phil Henry.
Cut it out.